Rules and Administration will come to order. Today is April 6th, 2022. A quorum is present. Welcome, members. This is my first hearing of the Committee on Rules and Administration as Chair. I'm honored to serve in the footsteps of some very qualified Rules Chairs, and I hope that I'm able to continue serving with the same honor and dignity as those who served before me. Our agenda today, we will have four bills sent to us under Joint Rule 2.03 as late bills. I'd like to remind all of us except for Senator Rood, our first author, that the subject matter does not fall within the jurisdiction of the Rules Committee, so we do not need to discuss the merits of the bill, only why the bill is late and why you believe it should proceed. With Senator Rood's bill, however, it is in the Rules Committee under Joint Rule 2.03, but it's also a constitutional amendment, so it does fall within our jurisdiction, so we will discuss the merits of the bill as well. So we will start with Senator Rood's bill, Senate File 4131. It was heard in the Environment Finance Committee and re-referred to Rules because of the constitutional amendment. I understand that there's also a technical amendment for the bill. Our plan today will be to suspend Joint Rule 2.03 for all further proceedings on this bill, hear and vote on the technical amendment, discuss the merits of moving this constitutional amendment forward, and then re-refer the bill as amended to the Finance Committee. Senator Rood, welcome to the committee. Let's start with your technical amendment. So if either you or council could run through that, and then we will take it from there.
Thank you, Chair Miller, and I'm honored to be the first bill of your first meeting. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to council. We have the A5 amendment with a small oral amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, good afternoon. I'm Ben Stanley, Senate Counsel. The A5 amendment is a purely technical amendment, and in the previous committee stop, the A2 was adopted, and it made changes to two sections of the Constitution, but had only a single ballot question. And there were questions raised about whether this was the best way to do things, and so the A5 simply puts the exact same substance into a change to one section of the Constitution and maintains the single ballot question. There is an oral amendment, a further technical change to the technical amendment that is needed on page 4, line 11. There's a reference to section 16 that should be a reference to section 14. So Senator Rood is proposing to incorporate into this technical A5 amendment the deletion of on page 4, line 11, and the insertion of 14 in its place.
Thank you, Mr. Stanley. Members, any questions? Seeing none, we'll have Senator Weber. Would you be willing to offer the A5 amendment as amended with the oral amendment?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
On the A5 amendment, as amended with the oral amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Rood, can you please speak to the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate File 4131 is a constitutional amendment providing for the renewal of the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. In 1988, this was on the ballot, and 77% of Minnesotans approved this. It expires in 2024. This legislation would put the reauthorization question on the ballot in 2024. The reason for that is we think that if we pass it now, it's going to take a while to put together a program to educate the citizens in Minnesota and to prove to them that we did a good job spending this money. Them to decide then on the ballot in 2024 if they choose to renew this amendment. We think that it's just an amazing thing for Minnesota. It's proven to be so valuable in ways for the environment and for, we attract scientists from all over the country that like that will come here and do wonderful projects. And so we think that we can prove to voters that we've spent their money wisely. So that's why we need to put it on the ballot in 2024. Currently, 40% of the lottery net proceeds are deposited in the environmental fund, and this constitutional amendment would increase that amount to 50%. When this was originally proposed back in 1988, the amount was 50%. And then, of course, at the end of the day, it was 40, and we think it should be back up to 50%. It also adds the unclaimed prize money into the fund. We think that when people buy their lottery tickets and when all the unclaimed prizes should really go back into the fund and not into the general fund. That's what people have thought that they were doing, and that this really, we believe, makes a lot of sense. So we changed the bill because of several reasons. We know that in the state of Minnesota that we have great wastewater needs across the state. And so the argument has always become to use these funds for that purpose. And it always created an argument. Back in, I believe it was 1988, there was appropriation bonds used out of this fund, and that created a lawsuit. And Governor Waltz then had to take those bonds and make them into GO, and that cost us $160 million. So then we had line item vetoes. Then we had placeholders for wastewater. And there's always been this continuing argument about, was that constitutional, not constitutional? And so then the LCCMR became contention, always contention in that. So what we did in this is we amended in Senator Ingebrigtsen's finance committee. The rest of the money goes towards, we create a new fund, with the rest of the money, not using the environmental trust funds, but we put in a placeholder for a water improvement fund so that those needs can be taken care of and maybe take the contention out of continually using those funds in two different places. So that's basically it. The lottery's proceeds so far have supported over $700 million worth of projects. So we think it's well worth to put this back on the ballot. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any questions for Senator Rood? Senator Bach.
Well, Senator Rood, I'm going to be voting no. And I'm going to be voting no because I've always been hesitant to constitutionally dedicate money and take the discretion away from the legislature. Future legislators that serve here, I think, should have the flexibility to respond to the changing environment, the changing opinions of what the public's priority is. But this is a big change. We're not going from 40% of the lottery proceeds going to the Environmental Trust Fund. We're now taking all of the proceeds of the lottery and dedicating the money constitutionally. I just think that's a problem. I mean, and maybe you can tell me how much the 60% currently today that's going into the general fund that now will not longer be going in there anymore. How much money is that 60% every year? So kind of what is the hole, the fiscal moat on this bill to the state's general fund? Do you know what that 60% number is?
Senator Rood.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bach, yes, I do. So the net proceeds from raising from to the 50% plus the unclaimed prize money is about $22 million. And then the other is about $59 million is that number.
So, Senator Bach.
So what's the math? 80 million?
Senator Rood.
The total general fund would be 81.8.
Right. Senator Bach.
I just cannot vote to take $81 million out of the general fund and park it constitutionally so a future legislature has nothing to say about it. I don't object to the idea of the 40%, which we've been doing going forward. And we've put, I don't know what the count is, north of a couple billion. So just the earnings on that is a lot of money. But this is an awful big hole in the general fund. And we won't always have surpluses. Future legislatures are going to struggle, and I just think they need to have the flexibility to respond to what the public's needs are going forward. So it's not new. I've always been against the idea of constitutionally dedicated money. I'm probably the person that that stopped the constitutional dedication of the auto parts a number of years ago, because I agree we should put money into transportation, but I think it should be statutorily dedicated so that a future legislature can respond to changing priorities, not constitutionally dedicated. And Senator Root, I'd like you to think about that. That other 50% maybe should be statutorily dedicated to the water fund rather than constitutionally dedicated.
Members, any other questions? Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if it's a question for council or for the author. Let's say that we did not pass this. Does this mean that the Minnesota State Lottery would run out in 2024, or just the dedication of the fundings would run out in 2024? Can someone answer that question?
Senator Rood?
Mr. Chair and Senator Osmick, the constitutional protection for the fund would disappear. So we would still have lottery dollars, we would still have lottery, but the constitutional protection for the environment would disappear.
Members, any other questions? Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, I wasn't here in 1988. Senator Marty might have been when it was put on the ballot, but I seem to remember that the 60% that wasn't going to the Environmental Trust Fund was statutorily committed to K-12 education. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that. And then later the legislature changed it so it just went to the general fund. Then, Senator Marty, do you remember? Does that sound right?
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Senator Baca, you may be right. I'm not really sure what we did with the other 60%. It may have been intended for the education purposes, but I can't remember if we had that statutorily or anything.
So Mr. Senator Chairman, my point for raising that, I think I'm right about that. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but the legislature was able to respond to a future legislature decided 60% of the lottery proceeds should go to K-12. But a future legislature decided, you know, there's another priority. And I just think maintaining that flexibility for future legislators that are going to sit in these chairs can respond to the changing attitude of the public. So that's all I have to add on it, Mr. Chairman. I might be a voice in the wilderness, but I would like people to think about the idea of an $81 million hit to the general fund permanently going forward and only going to grow per year.
Members, any other questions? Senator Friends.
Well, first of all, Mr. Chair, thanks for convening the committee. First time for me in person and rules. And I just want to echo Senator Bach's question about things that we do that make permanent changes and the way they might affect the general fund. I'm listening, Senator Bach. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, any other questions? Senator Rood, anything to close out the discussion on this bill before we take a vote?
Chairman Miller, I think Senator Bach really makes a good point, and I'd be really happy to move to work on that portion. My intent and my passion is to get this renew our constitutional amendment before it expires, as we have it for the Environmental Trust Fund. So, if we need to work on the other piece that is new and that was kind of added to make peace in the valley, I'd be happy to do that.
Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, maybe council can tell me, where does the bill go from here?
Senator Bach will go to the Finance Committee.
I'd rather we fixed it up here than leave it to Finance. But if the committee wants to send it to Finance, I'm not going to object to that. But I guess I would move... not trying to kill the bill, Senator Rood, just give it some time to kind of vet this. Maybe, so I guess I'd move to lay it on the table for consideration. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like it taken up yet this session, but I think for today it might be a good idea to table it and work on that language, because it may not pass on the Senate floor the way it's crafted, I think, Senator Rood. And I want the money to continue to flow to the Environmental Trust Fund, but I'm not sure this passes on the floor. So I've moved to lay it on the table, Mr. Chairman.
So Senator Bach has moved to lay Senate File 4131 as amended on the table. Members, that motion is not debatable. On the Bach motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. No. The motion prevails, and Senate File 4131 is laid on the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee.
Thank you, Senator Rood. Members, the next item on our agenda is Senate File 3881. This bill came out of the Jobs Committee and is Senator Rarick's bill. Senator Rarick, welcome to the Rules Committee. Please tell us why your bill is late and why you think it should proceed on its path.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I think many of us were aware that there was some issues for the governor and his agencies to get their bills to us in a timely manner. This one came to us. It was the Department of Labor's bill. It came to us about a week, I believe, before first deadline. In order for us to hear it, go through markup, get it over to Jobs, and get it here, we just didn't have enough time to meet the deadlines from when we received it. We wanted to make sure it got all the proper hearings before it got here instead of just rushing it through. So that's why we didn't get it passed out of Jobs until Monday.
All right, members, any questions for Senator Rarick? See none, Senator Johnson offers the motion that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 3881. And that the previous committee report from the Committee on Jobs and Economic Growth, Finance, and Policy be adopted, that report being the bill as amended, the bill pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. I'm sorry, the bill is not amended. It is amended. As amended, do pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
So moved.
On that motion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, members, next we have Senate File 3249. This bill was referred to the Rules Committee under Joint Rule 2.03 as a late bill. This is Senator Dreheim's bill and came out of Health and Human Services. Welcome to the committee, Senator Dreheim. Can you please tell us why your bill is late and why it should proceed on its current path?
Thank you, Chair Miller and members. Senate File 3249 is a combination of probably over a dozen different concepts from different mental health bills from both sides of the aisle that have been compiled into one bill. Pieces of both sides of the aisle, like I said earlier, and a lot of work done by Senator Rose and Senator Sinjem and myself trying to put together a package dealing with some of the mental health issues that we are facing, and we built on existing programs, and everything was taking a little longer than anticipated, getting things jacketed and put together. So that's the background, Chair.
Members, for Senator Dreheim. Seeing none, Senator Limmer offers the motion that Joint Rule 2.03 be suspended for all further proceedings on Senate File 3249, and that the previous committee report from the Committee on Health and Human Services, Finance, and Policy be adopted, that report being the bill as amended, do pass, and be referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Dreheim.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, members, it's our last bill for today. Senate File 4045 was referred to the Rules Committee under Joint Rule 2.03 as a late bill. This is Senator Coleman's bill and came out of Health and Human Services. Senator Coleman, welcome to the committee. Please tell us why your bill is late and why you feel it should proceed on its current path.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is my first time for the committee. I have to say it feels like being called to the principal's office for the first time. Not that I know what that feels like because I never went to the principal's office, but this bill was introduced earlier on in session. It got heard in higher ed on time, re-referred to HHS, and as you all know, they have a busy schedule, so unfortunately, it still has a stop to go in state gov, so I would like it to continue on if possible.
Members, any questions for Senator Coleman? Senator Bach.
Well, Senator Coleman, I did get called to the principal's office. And up north, and I think it's probably still a practice, the Monday after the opening of the deer firearm season, if you go to the principal, he will give you a slip to be able to have an excused day from school on Monday on the opening weekend. And there was a long line at the principal's office in the school that I was in to get your excused absence from. Well, it was most times the first Monday in November. I think they're still doing it.
All right. Members, any other discussion? Not quite sure where to go with that. All right. Senator Frentz offers the motion that the previous committee report from the Committee on Health and Human Services, Finance and Policy be adopted. That report being that the bill do pass and be referred to the Committee on State Government Finance and Policy and Elections. On that motion, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Coleman. Members, this concludes the business before Senator Lopez Franz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is my first time as well in this committee, and I am just as honored as you are to be serving in this prestigious committee. I do want to just mention a few things, and I want to also introduce a resolution. Senator Miller, you and I talked about this briefly earlier, and I did Secretary of the Senate as well, Cal Ludeman. We have been very much interested in improving our environment for our staff and for every worker in our Senate. And as you all know, we also need to not just lead by example, but be at the forefront of many of the policies that we expect of other employers and other settings in our state. And we have had a working group relating to the Senate non-discriminatory and anti-harassment policy for the last several months. I know that the work is undergoing, but we also want to make sure, just as we have committee deadlines, that we are making some exceptions today, that we also have deadlines for the work that we are expecting of our members working on this working group that we have with Senator Kiffmeyer as chair. And I think having a deadline is a good thing to do. Some of us are retiring, so our deadline is December, but we have to do this work at haste. And I would be remiss if we continue to delay when we have a lot of our staff, including in this very committee room, that are expecting us to lead on this issue. So Mr. Chair and members, I would appreciate if we can consider a resolution that I believe that Mr. Bodden has copies of.
All right, members, Mr. Bodden will pass out the resolution. To the resolution, Senator Lopez Franzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the resolution, it's a very brief but very important statement that we are expecting the work of the working group to be completed by a time certain. In this place, we have a placeholder of June 24th, 2022, for the working group to continue to complete its work and then to followed by this committee to meet for action by July 1st, 2022. I have consulted counsel that is currently working on our bills for this session, so I know they are extremely busy. We want to make sure that we're cognizant of that. But members, I've had communication about this particular issue and these recommendations that came from an independent attorney who worked on this for various months. And since October 5th, I've had the first communication as leader that there was going to be a final report that was due in December. We got that final report. We met with several of you and with council. And then on January 6th was another communication from Secretary of the Senate to appoint to the working group we have appointed. And they've met already. March 4th was their first and only meeting that lasted about an hour. The overview of the recommendations, which are 18 of them, was presented, and they also had a presentation from the employee AEP program. So, members, I believe this work is extremely important, just as important as any other bill that we are considering this legislative session. And I hope we can agree that we need to complete this work and that we have to adopt the recommendations that are needed to improve our working place at the earliest convenience of this body.
Thank you, Senator Franzen. How did you come up with the dates that are in here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The dates were, we would have loved to have it at the end of session, which is May 23rd. But again, as I mentioned earlier, we know that there's a lot of work, and some of this work lies heavily on a few attorneys that are in our Senate counsel offices. So being respectful of that, but know that we can chew gum and walk at the same time. I think those recommendations and my purpose of sharing the timeline is that there's been many, many months of having this information in front of the work group, and that we need to nudge that this work group continue to meet and come with their final recommendations to this body and to this particular committee and the Rules Committee. So we pushed it out to June 24th, a month after the end of session, and then until July 1st, just giving a week or so for this committee to meet and adopt those recommendations.
Members, any questions? Secretary Ludeman, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Thanks,
Secretary Ludeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Lopez Franzen, I think, outlined it. This is six senators, three from each caucus, that have met. They know what their job is. And I'll remind the Rules Committee that we already have a harassment policy. It is in place. This is not for a drafting of a brand new policy, but it is a use of the recommendations based on an investigation, which recommended to the Senate, and we didn't know how to process that in any other way than to have the working group make recommendations to the Rules Committee. So the Rules Committee still will have ultimate and last chance to approve a new draft of a current policy. Just wanted to make sure people understood that. So this, my understanding of this resolution would be that this would compel a report to the Rules Committee by a time certain. And whether that can be done or not is up to the members of the working group and certainly the members of the Rules Committee, whether that can be accomplished. It is not easy. It's 18 separate recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Ludeman. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Ludeman, Secretary Ludeman, I'm just looking at 1.9 through 1.11 here. The time between actually getting rules we'll get them on June 24th, but we've got to have action before July 1st. And you said there's 18 or so recommendations there. Is that enough time to, between the time that they're issued and between when we actually have to take action? It seems like there might be a little bit more work that we need to do as a committee, individually addressing that before, but yeah, sounds like that gap is pretty tight. Do you have any recommendation there? Not to throw you under the bus, but just wondering if you think that's enough time.
Secretary Ludeman.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Johnson, that is a difficult one for me to, there's a lot of talent in this state Senate, and you can sometimes turn up the speedometer and go fast, and sometimes it has to slow down. So I don't know how I can quite answer that. Given the scheduling issue, even to get the first meeting put together, it's difficult with six busy senators to get into the same place at the same time with staff and staff assistants. Senator Dietzick is, I think, fair to say, Senator Port is considered sort of the lead response to Senator Kiffmeyer on this and I think they were going to see the first ones of the draft. It'd be nice if I could tell you that that's already been done and that they've seen that draft, but I don't know. Maybe to conclude it, when I gave the context to the working group, which I left in that first meeting, and I'm not a member of the working group and prefer not to be, my last admission to them was good luck, because it was going to be a lot of work and maybe controversy associated with it, but that's what you guys deal, what you, the Senate, deals with every day.
Senator Frentz and then Senator Limmer. Senator Frentz.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Secretary Johnson, for raising the question of timing. Secretary Ludeman, is there any chance you can estimate for this committee what percentage of the work group's work you think has been done so far?
Secretary Ludeman. Mr. Chairman, Senator Frentz, I don't, that would be in the hands of Carlin Doyle Fontaine, who is the lead staff working with both Senator Dietzick and Kiffmeyer on the first draft of the potential changes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Johnson raised an interesting point. As far as scheduling is concerned, I've been told over the years that the week before the 4th of July and the week after the 4th of July is the most busiest vacation time during the summer. Requiring action before July 1st kind of trips right into that two-week span. Is there any opportunity to perhaps extend that last date to a different time, such as maybe July 30th, on or before?
Senator Lopez Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Limmer, for that question. I certainly think we can, you know, pass a budget before the end of May 23rd, a supplemental budget. So that's a lot of work that we do, and we find time for that. This is, again, equally, if not more important, because these are the rules of people working here that are helping us with these budgets. So I've had that sense of urgency since I took on the role of minority leader in our caucus and have vowed to push this to the end. I know that there's a few members from the working group on right now online, if the chair wants to hear from them. I know Senator Port is available right now if people want to hear directly from her. But I just think that we can't keep using excuses that it's a busy season, because we got this report back in December and the excuse was that it was a busy season, with holidays. And then it was a busy season when we're getting back to session. And now it's a busy season for, that's just, you know, we need deadlines. That's how we operate. That's the urgency that we put into things when we have a clear and concise deadline. And again, the real deadline will be December, because Senator Kiffmeyer, who's the chair, is retiring. And is that what we want to show in this workplace, that this is not as urgent or, you know, an issue to prioritize? I think not. I think all of us, both caucuses and nonpartisan staff, wants to see that this is something we want to tackle sooner rather than later. So I don't think it's a partisan issue. It's an issue of the morale of our staff and our senators, and it's also about protecting our workplaces. And I think it's extremely important that we put a deadline, and I'd be open to a later deadline, but not as far, you know, as the end of summer, because then people are going to say, well, now we're campaigning and we don't have time and people are back in their districts. So I just think we can push this back as much as possible. It's just not the right signal for this workplace.
Senator Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Senator Lopez Frentz, and I think, you know, we did table one issue today. I'm not saying that we would table this for an extended period of time, but I do think that having the two co-chairs here to maybe talk about the dates next week or the next time we meet as rules, because, you know, now we're in the season of where we're meeting quite often. Having it on the next agenda so that they can be here. I understand the Senator Port may be available, but I don't see Senator Kiffmeyer available. I think she's the lead on the other side. I think it would be wise of us to have them here to find out what their opinion on a timeline might be, and then amend this appropriately, because I just don't like throwing in dates without knowing what the chairs think. Would you be opposed necessarily to table this to the next rules meeting where we take it up?
Senator Frentz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Senator Osmick and President Osmick. I think that's definitely doable. I just don't want to continue to send the impression that this is going to be tabled and continue to be, you know, gathering dust somewhere. These are recommendations that were put into place by a series of interviews with many members, many staff, many people, and it involved a lot of hours and effort and resources, because we did pay for this these recommendations to come. They were done in a nonpartisan manner. They should be, not everybody has visibility to them right now, and I know that we have to narrow it down to those that we agree on, but that we need to complete this work. And I'd be open and gracious to put it on the table for the next meeting, but I think that's as far as we should hold it. So I really do compel members and staff, and I do see that Senator Ports is actually physically here, but that we put a time certain and not keep tabling this important issue for our caucus and our state and our entire employment setting.
Senator Franzen, have you had any discussions with Senator Kiffmeyer?
Mr. Chair, I am not part of the working group. I have not personally, but I know that the caucus are folks that are appointed. Senator Dietzick, Senator Port, and Senator Kunish have.
Regarding the timeline?
Regarding the work that has happened already in the work group. And like I mentioned, the only work that we know of has been an overview of the recommendations and an overview from EAP. But there has been no further meetings or no further notice of another meeting.
So members, I'm supportive of the amendment. Or the resolution. I'm a little concerned about an arbitrary date without talking to the chair and the lead. And what my concern is, what we don't want to happen is we don't want this working group to be rushed try to figure this out. What we don't want to do is give them not enough time to thoroughly review the policies. We do have a policy in place right now, so I don't want to rush their work. So I want to give them adequate time, but I don't know that we can make that decision without talking, or at least having a conversation with the chair and the lead. But I would be ready to support this today if we want to vote on it, even with those concerns. But I am concerned about the arbitrary date. A little concerning to me. Senator Franzen.
Mr. Chair, I would be willing to put this on the agenda for the next Rules Committee and have Senator Kiffmeyer attend and have that discussion and narrow down the date. But I think that's as far as we should keep delaying this work. These recommendations have been available since December.
Okay. So do you want to withdraw the resolution for now, and then we will make sure it's on the agenda for our next Rules Committee meeting?
Mr. Chair, that would be my intent, and with your assurance that will be the final stop to give
absolutely
a deadline.
I'm ready to vote on it now. So yes, Senator Marty.
And Mr. Chair, I think it's appropriate to set it aside for the next Rules Committee, but you know when the next Rules Committee is going to be, because as you pointed out, this is your first one. I had another issue I wanted to raise that it doesn't have to be today, but it's about staff and the issue. I just found out that their timesheets have a thing, work not paid. For some of these folks, it's that certain number of hours every 2 weeks are listed to say, I'd like to discuss that issue. Don't feel a need to do it today, but I also don't want to have it be, well, we're in the final week of session and we're dealing with that because Rules Committee meets irregular. Can we have a meeting in the next couple of weeks to address some of these things?
Senator Murray, my commitment is we will definitely meet before the end of session. And my guess is we'll meet multiple times before the end of session. We don't have a committee meeting scheduled, but you have my commitment that we will address this issue as well as your other one, unless the secretary wants to address it now.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it's probably appropriate to delay that to the next meeting, but there are several staff administration issues similar to that one, but that would be an easy answer. But maybe I'll talk to Senator Marty before that, and we'll talk about the other things I'm talking about.
All right. Thank you. So members, here's what we'll do. We'll make sure we get another Rules Committee scheduled in the very near future to discuss the resolution that's in front of us now, as well as the issues that Senator Marty and the secretary just mentioned. So with that,
thank you, Mr.
Senator Lopez Franzen.
Mr. Chair, I'll lay the resolution on the table for now. Thank
okay.
you.
The resolution is laid on the table. Any other business? Any other questions? Okay, members, with that, the Committee on Rules and Administration is adjourned.